So Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Hunger and thirst. So I want to start this morning in this theme by asking you to become aware of yourselves sitting just now. Think about yourself. How do you feel? Are you hungry? Now you turn your thoughts to your belly. How do you feel? Wee bit of hunger. It's been a wee while since breakfast. Looking forward to coffee and biscuits. Now I want you to think a bit more carefully, because it's very easy to pick up on hunger like that. Can you sense a hunger for righteousness? Do you feel that? Do you have that longing within yourself? Because if you do, you're a blessed person. Jesus himself has promised that you will be satisfied. It's good to stop and think about yourself like that. To be self-aware and to be spiritually aware. We're going to think about what this means today, and I'm going to keep it very simple. This is the passage. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The promise, the beatitude. I'm going to think about what that means in terms of, we'll just do it one at a time. Likeness. What is righteousness? You know, it's an easy word to roll off, but what is righteousness? Are you righteous? And are you righteous in the sense that Jesus means here? Like, let's say three things it doesn't mean, first of all. It doesn't mean you feeling very righteous about yourself. It doesn't mean you feeling, I'm a good person. And it certainly doesn't mean you feeling, I'm a good person, unlike the riffraff over there. That's not what Jesus means. That's self-righteousness. The same thing is, it doesn't mean that you are being shown to be righteous in a situation where there's a question over your integrity. We're talking there about vindication, like you've been accused of something and you know that you haven't done it and you want to be shown to be righteous, you want to be vindicated. I'm in the right and my accusers are wrong. That's not what Jesus is talking about here either. Although that can be very important at times, vindication. Nor does it mean what we say the gospel does for us. It makes us righteous in God's sight. We call that justification. That when we believe in Jesus, God gives us a righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, so that we can stand before God righteous, clothed in Jesus' righteousness. That's vital, but it's not that Jesus is speaking about here either. The righteousness Jesus is speaking about here is the righteousness of us actually doing righteous things, following Jesus, becoming beautiful in our lives in the way that Jesus is beautiful. It's like when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we ask, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The righteousness we're talking about here in this beatitude is the righteousness of doing God's will on earth. It's like people like you and me doing what God wants us to do, living like Jesus in this world, living like we're in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're talking about. And it's what we see in Jesus' life. Jesus wanted to do righteous things. In the beginning of what we read, John the Baptist said, you know, you want me to baptize you? I need you to baptize me, says John the Baptist. But Jesus said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. We want to do what's right before God my Father, Jesus said. And the right thing is that you should baptize me. Jesus wanted to do the right thing. In fact, he hungered for it. And we saw that when we spoke to the children about how Jesus was more hungry to do the right thing than to eat, even after he hadn't eaten for 40 days. He could have walked out of the desert and said, I'm not having this. But then that would prove he was more hungry for food and more thirsty for water than he was to do the will of God. Righteousness is Jesus' lifestyle. It's who Jesus is. It's his love. It's his goodness. It's the way he treats people. It's the way he relates to God, his Father. It's something that he achieved himself with the power and help of the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit led him into the wilderness, he followed. Whenever the Spirit led Jesus, he went where the Spirit was leading him. And he was the man he's speaking about in chapter 5, a little bit further on, whose righteousness surpassed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You know, those in the crowd just all thought the Pharisees were the really righteous guys. In fact, they were very unrighteous. They were full of all sorts of horrible things in their hearts, but they tried to look good. Never thought they were amazing, righteous people. They weren't. In fact, they were really, really bad sinners, and Jesus exposed them as bad sinners. Jesus said, you've got to be better than that. It's not just to look good. It's to be good on the inside, that your every thought, your motivation is of God. And that was Jesus. So it's actually doing the right thing that this righteousness is. It's being like Jesus. And this is an attractive thing. You know, righteousness can seem a bit of an austere word, but righteousness in Jesus' life was attractive. No one else had the crowds following them like Jesus did. It was attractive what they saw in Jesus. Righteousness in us, as being like Jesus, our likeness to Jesus, it's a beautiful thing. And we should seek to have it and hunger for it. We wouldn't claim to be like Jesus. None of us is going to say, you know, you can hardly tell Jesus or me apart. We're just about the same. No, we can't say that. But what matters is we want to be like Jesus. We hunger and we thirst for righteousness. We're hungry. So that's righteousness. It's being like Jesus. The second thing, though, is that in this beatitude, there's a longing, there's a hungering, and there's a thirsting. And so what Jesus is speaking about in this beatitude, it's not about just being happy as you are. It's not about looking down on others and thinking you're better than they are. It's not about being unhappy with yourself, but you've given up trying to be good and you become cynical. These are not the kind of things Jesus is thinking about here. What Jesus is speaking about is you want to be like him. You did want to be like him. You want to be like him now, and you will keep wanting to be like Jesus until you are like Jesus. And you will be. That's the promise. It's a longing for something. A longing for something that only God can fulfill. We can't do this alone. It doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will fill themselves. It's God who fills them. We need God's help. Now, in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, it says, all ate and were satisfied. The word satisfied there, it's exactly the same word as is the word filled there in the Beatitude. They will be satisfied. They will be filled. But you know, those 5,000 people, how did they get filled? They didn't get filled because they miraculously produced their own food, because they didn't have any. That's the whole point of the start of the story. The disciples look around and say, no one's getting any food. Everyone's hungry. We will need to send them away to buy food. Jesus says, you feed them. And little do they know, this crowd, that they are going to be dependent on Jesus to be fed. They're not going to feed themselves. They don't realize that Jesus is going to feed them yet. But then he does. They're hungry, and Jesus satisfies. They all ate, and they were satisfied. And this is what we need to understand about ourselves as Christians. Being a Christian isn't about just doing it all yourself. It's not about trying to be, you know, some kind of really excellent, righteous person, all of your own effort and making. No. It's Jesus who has to work in your life and in my life. If we're going to be beautiful in righteousness like Jesus, he is the one who's got to work. And so we've got to take our hunger and our thirst to him, so that we may be filled. I wonder if we kind of think about this. You know, I wonder if I think about this in this way very much. Yeah, I think I probably do think about it quite a lot this way. Just that, you know, if I'm going to be a righteous man, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I know I can't do it myself. Although I do find myself trying all the time, maybe you do too. But you've got to know that Jesus fed the 5,000. They didn't feed themselves. Jesus feeds those who are hungry and thirsting for righteousness. We can't do that for ourselves. So do you know this morning what it is to go to God hungry and thirsty for righteousness and to be filled? I wonder what Jesus was thinking about here. Last week we saw he was thinking about Psalm 37, and it says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But this week, I wonder, was he thinking about Psalms like Psalm 119 that we just sang? The Psalm 119 says a lot about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. How I long for your precepts. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. We sang that. It's not just that Jesus wants to know what God wants. It's like he wants to do it. Psalm 190, we sang the words, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Now, let us desire this to be the epitaph for our lives. Epitaph, the words that are put on a grave to describe someone's life. Way back in the early 90s, when I used to go to Hungary once a year, we went and did a Bible camp in the south of Hungary, in a place, took a while to learn the name of this place, Hódmezővásárhely. And we went to Hódmezővásárhely, and we find this elderly lady called Rosa desired for her young people in her city, 50,000 people. She was a very important official in the city. Desired for them to know the Bible. And so she set up these English Bible camps. And we went and did the first one. It was a great privilege. Never forget these times. Next year we went back and we found that in the year, Rosa had died. And so we went with her daughter out to the cemetery. And there was a simple grave. No kind of fanciness, even though she was a very important, significant woman. Just a very simple grave with her name and her dates. And at the bottom there were some words in Hungarian. And I asked her daughter, what do these words mean? And she said, they mean, I wanted to be a righteous person. That was her epitaph. That says something wonderful. Let it be our desire to be righteous, like Jesus. So, likeness, longing, likeness to Jesus, longing to be like Jesus, brings, finally, life. Well, Jesus was hungry for righteousness. And he was so hungry that so long as the Holy Spirit was keeping him in that desert and leading him in the desert, he stayed there. Didn't matter how many pounds he was losing, he stayed there because his hunger for righteousness was greater than his hunger for food. So he wasn't going to listen to Satan. He wasn't going to turn any stones into bread. He stayed on the path of righteousness right through to his last breath. And he was raised up to life after he died on his own account. That is because God was raising up a man who did not deserve to die. You've noticed that God hasn't raised up any others like that. You know, you go down to Lahash Cemetery, you don't find some of the tombs have been emptied by God because some of the people were righteous. So perfectly righteous. So God said, well, they didn't deserve to die. It doesn't happen. The only man that's ever been raised on his own account because he achieved perfect righteousness was Jesus Christ. And this is the righteousness that is the gift of the gospel to us. A righteousness that we receive when we believe in Jesus that makes us righteous, and that means that we too will be raised from the dead, and that we too will be like people who had walked as Jesus walked, like as though we had been the people who had been 40 days in the wilderness and had never turned away from God. That's the gospel. We can't do that for ourselves, but this is the gift of the gospel. The gospel gives us that righteousness that is Jesus' righteousness. But we must also seek to have our own righteous lives. We must be willing ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit ourselves. We must be willing to listen to what the Scripture says and to follow it and not grieve the Holy Spirit and not grieve God working in us so that we don't know Him. But if we desire and hunger righteousness, the wonderful thing is we get to know the life of God in us. We get to know the power of the Spirit in us. We get to know how God refreshes and renews us along the path of hunger for Him and for righteousness. So the goal of righteousness, of hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it's not just, you know, that we will be beautiful in our own lives. The goal. And it's not even that we will be like Jesus. The goal is that we will have the life of God in us. Fellowship with God Himself. That's our goal. To be satisfied in God. And that is the goal. Remember when Moses went up onto Mount Sinai and he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. And he came down looking like he was in better health than before he went up. Why? Because he was in the presence of God. He was satisfied. You know, I hope that every one of you has known and still knows the joy of human relationship, of having friends, of having family. And you can't get enough of that. You want more. That's why life as we get older can become very painful. Because we seem to lose that bit by bit. And what can compensate for that? Nothing. Memories can't. They are bittersweet. But God can. Because the future God is promising those that hunger and thirst for righteousness is a future of life with him. A relationship that is surpassing any human relationship. And it can do so already now in this life. And it can do so forevermore. So, just to close, let me just say simply, do not let an appetite of yours for anything less than righteousness hinder you from hungering and thirsting for righteousness and for life with God. Do not let any other things that you desire in this life be more important to you. Consider yourself, to use an image of Paul, that you are an athlete in training. And so you don't just go to the fridge every 5 minutes. You don't just slob about. You don't just please yourself. You want a medal around your neck. You want to be the very best. As Paul says, those athletes, they do it to receive a crown that will fade. But we do it to receive a crown that will last forever. Hunger and thirst to be like Jesus. Don't let anything less, anything that will give you, or will not give you what it promises, get in the way of being like Jesus and of hungering and thirsting to be like him. Nothing has a promise like this promise, that if you are like Jesus, if you long to be like him more, you will be filled. You'll be filled by God. You'll be full of life, eternal life, forevermore. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for its teaching. But Lord, let us see what it means. So help us, as we did at the beginning of the message, help us to be aware of ourselves and of the things that we want. Lord Jesus, help us to want you more than anything, to be like you and to have your life. Amen.